Well, this morning we're going to look in James, good old James, practical James, chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. There are many places in the Bible where it warns us about the use of our words, but none seem to do it so well as James does. And so, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to James chapter 3, verses 1 to 12, and this is what James says. He says, "Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire. In a world of evil among the parts of the body, it corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of birds, animals, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water." Let's just pray for a moment again. Our Heavenly Father, we have heard your word, and we ask, Lord God, that this morning that your word would come alive within us and to us, Lord, and may your spirit have his way in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, when you go to the doctor for a checkup, the doctor usually would do three things. First, they often, well, I don't know what order, but they often take your blood pressure. Then they listen to your chest. You know, that was my favorite part as a kid, you know, except when the thing was cold. And they tell you to take a deep breath. Remember doing that? Do they still do that today? I got to go to the doctor, I guess, to find out. and then they would look at your tongue, right? They would tell you to open your mouth and stick out your tongue and say, "Ah." I'm not sure there was anything very pleasant at looking inside someone's mouth, but somehow the trained doctor would be able to tell a lot just by opening your mouth. And it seems to me what James is saying is that the same thing is true for a follower of Christ and their spiritual health and condition. According to James, we can tell a whole lot about a person by looking at their mouth or looking at their tongue in particular. And so this morning, we would do well to, maybe not literally, but at least figuratively, open our mouths and say, "Aw," and take a good look. When we read James, the first thing we notice is that despite its size, the tongue holds great power. Truly, the tongue is just a small part of the body, and yet it can make great boasts. It can do great things. On the positive side, and we have seen it many times, the tongue has power to do good. You put a bit in the horse's mouth or a rudder on a huge ship. Both of them are relatively tiny compared to the rest of it. And yet those little tiny items can take such control over that which is much greater. And what James is saying in a positive way is that our words, even a few words, can have such a powerful positive impact on someone's day. we've been there. A phone call that brings a bit of encouragement, a bit of hope, a bit of positive news. You're doing great. I know you're going to do this. Thank you for your help. An email offering to help somebody. What time do you want me to be there? Small things, few words even, can make such a great impact in a very positive, positive way. In the days before email, and even before the telephone for that matter, people used to communicate, so I'm told, by telegram. I think I've probably received 2 or 3 telegrams in my life. I don't know. Anyway, because people were charged a fee by the number of words in a telegram or the letters, I suppose, they were often kept short. Short little messages. You know, somebody might send a message, arrived safely, or on my way home, or maybe sister is recovering. Just a few words, but a powerful impact for good. We know that. Unfortunately, our tongue also holds the power to do great harm. James says, consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. Just one small spark that anyone could easily stamp out if it was there. If left unchecked, becomes an all-consuming fire, raging, destroying everything in its path. How many homes were destroyed last year in British Columbia in what was called the worst forest fire season in recent years? Or even more so in California, pretty much the whole town of Paradise was burnt. Millions and millions of dollars worth of loss. And not just the money, not just the homes turned into ash, but lives turned upside down, displaced. So much devastation. And what James is saying is that the tongue is like that fire. Once it is let loose, there's no control of it. It just leaves destruction in its path. The Jewish rabbis had a saying. I guess they had sayings for a lot of things, but this is one of them. The hand kills only at close quarters. The tongue is an arrow because it kills at a distance. And what James is saying is he's describing the harmful power of the tongue when he says it corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. That last part of verse 6, you know, it kind of stuck in my mind, is it is itself set on fire by hell. We don't like talking about hell very much. It's a reality, and we should. And what James is saying essentially is that the destructive work of the tongue is powered by hell. That's not my words, that's James. What a contrast to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, where it says, we are Christ's ambassadors as though God were making his appeal through us. And what James is saying is when we allow our tongues to be misused, it's as if the power of hell is making its appeal through us instead of Christ. Very powerful imagery that James uses. When we use our tongues in a destructive way, we are being, and I know this sounds harsh, but this is what James is getting at. We are being ambassadors of hell. Is it any wonder that Jesus said very clearly, I tell you, that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Jesus said that. This is so important that one's entire eternal hope, according to Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 and 37, is based on how we use our tongue. And you might think, well, Norm, that's a little far-fetched. That's a little too much. But the Bible says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So in other words, if our tongue is using language that is inappropriate and destructive, it's coming from a heart that isn't at the right place. In other words, the words we use will come from either a heart that is either obedient to God or contrary to God. And that takes us back to our checkup. If you want to know someone's heart, have them open their mouth and listen to their tongue, because their tongue will reveal what's in their heart. If the tongue is not controlled, take a look again in James chapter 3, verses 6 to 8, how James describes it. He says, the tongue is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. The tongue is untamed. It is a restless evil, and he describes it even as being full of deadly poison. All very powerful descriptions depicting the nature of the tongue and its destructive power. Some of the ways that the tongue is destructive, well, some of them are fairly obvious. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the message with the riddle, one way that the tongue is destructive is gossip. I think gossip is one of those things that we don't do intentionally. It's some of those things that we don't think we're even doing quite often, but it's so easy to slip into it. Very few people intend to gossip, but it happens. Well, gossip is essentially talking about somebody else. Talking about somebody else that in a way that will harm them. Probably the best thing to do, to think, is to put it this way. If you're talking about somebody else, and it would make no difference whether they were right in front of you and you were talking and they were listening, then chances are you're probably okay. But if you're saying something to someone about someone else and that other person isn't there, And if they were, you would change your words? And chances are, you're treading on gossip. We sometimes tell ourselves, but it's true. It doesn't matter if it's true. It's not a matter of whether something is true or false. Something could be absolutely true and still be gossip. We need to be extremely careful when we're talking about someone else. And that goes for me too. I need to be extremely careful whenever I talk about someone else, because it's so easy to slip into gossip. We don't always mean to do it, but that's the point. The fire just goes and it gets destructive. And once you let it out, you have no control anymore what the next person is going to do with it. Gossip is definitely one of the huge ways where the tongue is unleashing a deadly power. But there's also other ways. There's deceit, where, you know, something is technically true, but the implications clearly are not. And you might say, well, I said the truth. But if you're misleading somebody, that's deceit. And that's a very dangerous thing, very dangerous use of the tongue. Another misuse of the tongue is anger. And yes, anger itself is not a sin. We know that. Jesus got angry. But if we're honest about it, probably 95 or maybe 99% of our anger is nothing like Jesus's, that one time it's depicted in the New Testament. More often than not, our anger is not very good. And it often comes with words that are not very godly either. And then there's bad language. And James talks about that, you know, cursing and swearing. It's become so common, we don't even think about it anymore. We make acronyms for it. We post it all over the place thinking, well, I'm not saying anything. It's just little acronyms here and there and saying a few words. And, well, everybody's doing it. It's not that bad. This was so much of an issue that James goes on in verse 9 and he says, with the tongue we praise the Lord and our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's image. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. He says, brothers, this should not be. And it shouldn't. And it shouldn't. Our words are powerful. They're very powerful. They can be used for incredible good. They can also be used for incredible harm. One person a long time ago, I'm sure, put together a little acronym for the word think, to think before we speak. Sarkis, if you go into the announcement slides, you'll find a slide at the bottom there that shows think. Can you post that up for us? Sorry, I didn't tell him ahead of time, so I'll take a moment to dig it out. There we are. Think. Think before you speak. I like that. T, is it true? Just because it's true, that alone is not licensed to talk about it. But the first question we need to start off with is it true? Secondly, is it helpful? Will it help the person who you're speaking to? And will it help the person you are speaking about? Or will it harm them? Is it inspiring? Or is it destructive? And is it necessary? There are things that are true, and maybe they're helpful and inspiring, but it might not be necessary. Not everybody needs to know everything. Is it actually relevant to the person? And lastly, for the letter K, is it kind? And if what I am speaking does not pass those tests, it's most likely better left unsaid. James, being a very practical man, would agree. He says in chapter 1, going back to chapter 1, verse 26, he says, if anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. In other words, people are going to respond to what they hear you speak and how you speak. And the truth is, we've all struggled in this. James even says, we all stumble in many ways. We read that earlier in James chapter 3. We all stumble in many ways. I understand that. No one, he says, no one can tame the tongue. So where is our hope? As always, our hope is in Jesus. You see, what we cannot do, he can do and will do and does do. But we have our part. Paul, the Apostle Paul, calls it dying to ourself. Daily. Every day. Every day I need to invite Jesus into my life. Every day I need to remind myself that it is Christ who needs to live within me. It is every day that I need to begin the day and asking Christ to be glorified in my life and shine through my actions and my words. And as we invite Christ to live in us day after day, what is impossible otherwise becomes very possible. But we also need to come clean. And I want to encourage you this morning. I'm not here to lash at anybody, not speaking to any person in particular, for sure. But I do need to say too that if your tongue has been used to start a fire, if it's been used to perpetuate a rumor or to deceive or to lash out in anger or use the name of God in vain, you need to ask God to forgive you. This is serious. Sometimes we think, well, it's only words, you know, I'm not hurting, whatever. We are hurting, and this is serious. And going back to James, you know, remember, the destructive power of the tongue is set on fire by hell. Whose ambassador do we want to be? And so if just between you and God, you know in your heart that your tongue hasn't been used appropriately, you need to ask God to forgive you, which we know he will do, but you also need to ask the person that you've wronged to forgive you. And I know that's hard. Humility is never an easy thing. But by doing so, you'll be using your tongue for good and for glory as an ambassador of Christ instead of for harm and destruction. I know we've all slipped up. I get that. But we need to be careful. And where we have messed up, we need to confess that so that we can move forward from there. Being able to control the tongue will not come easily or automatically. And sometimes we will fail. But the more we center our lives on Christ, who gave his life so that we can be changed and redeemed, the more successful we will be at taming the tongue. Just in closing, Jesus said, I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. That's pretty sobering to me. When you consider the average person speaks enough words in their lifetime to fill up 1,500 books, that's a lot of words. Of course, some people speak many more books than others, and some very few. No pointing fingers or jabbing elbows, please. But it's by these 1,500 books worth of words that we will need to give an account. God wants to bless us. God wants to receive us. God wants to forgive us. God wants to restore us. God wants to make us a new creation. God wants to put us in a path of righteousness and holiness and glory. And he will do it. But we need to come before him. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says, God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. And I believe that also includes his work within our heart, because out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we do come to you. And I would not be surprised, Lord, if every one of us at some point have felt the destructive power of the tongue lashed against us. And likewise, Lord, whether intentionally or not, we have likewise set different things on fire with our own mouths. And I pray, Father God, that where there has been wrong, there would be restoration through repentance and forgiveness, reconciliation. And I pray, Father God, that you would use our tongues to bless, to be a powerful, positive influence and an encouragement to those around us. And Lord, I pray that you would just do that work within us. And if there is some work you want to do right now, we just pray that you would do that work even now as we confess to you where we have fallen and where we need to give over what we need to give over to you. Lord, may we give our best to you, our all to you. May we be prepared to daily give ourselves to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.